Blog Talk Radio.
For the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show presented by Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday. It's a little wet up here in the Atlanta metro area. Coach and Reggie out this week. We'll be seeing them in the next couple weeks, especially because we are, you know, at this particular juncture right now, we are 4 weeks and about 58 and a half minutes away from the NFL draft. I mean, wow, are you guys excited as we are? We're pretty excited about this. It should be a lot of fun. Haven't quite nailed down exactly where we'll be. You'll have to stay tuned to know all that. But just know we're going to have a lot of fun. Probably be out just hanging out. We may do the show a little early that week. Maybe do it the day before. So we haven't decided on that either. And you know, might do it on the Wednesday so that Thursday we can just hang out. And if you happen to catch us out somewhere, some of the various places we could be, feel free to drop by and say hello, ask us a question, take pictures. We'll sign things if you want us to. That's fine. I know we always get a pretty good thrill out of meeting all you guys. But up today, so many things I want to get into. The Jets are a pretty hot topic in a couple different areas. Romo makes a statement about Murray. Greg Jennings needs to work on his material. You'll know what I mean by that. And then, of course, when we get to Falcon Zone, there's some draft rumors. I give you kind of the rundown of everybody I've heard that they could take at number 8, if they stay at 8, obviously. And Falcons are going to be without Roddy White this year, and I'll get to that a little later on. But, like I said, let's jump right into the end zone portion as we talk about the NFL. Draft rumors so far, and I'll start there. Draft rumors so far, the four main teams that are kind of, I guess for the most part, the four main teams that have been talked about maybe moving a player to move up or to try to come get Mariota seems to be the hot topic. We'll start with them. I went over these on Jaguar Zone as it applied to them because with the number 3 spot, there's a chance these four teams would move there, but number 8's pretty lucrative too, especially in the off chance that Mariota could fall that far, which is possible. You never know. Draft night, you think you're going 1, and you go 31. You think you're going 26, and you go 4. Who knows? Sometimes, as was the case with Geno Smith last year, I believe he fell to the second round, thought he was a first-round guy. You know, all the mocks are various opinions of people. That's what a mock is. It's what educated and sometimes uneducated, but as far as the educated media make these mock drafts as to who they think are going to get picked here, get picked there, but we don't know. Teams have went completely off the board before. You know, remember the Vikings a couple years ago with Christian Ponder, as high as he went. I think he went 12 or something like that to the Vikings. Another personal to Christian Ponder, but even he knows he's not worth the 12 pick. But jumping into these teams, I want to start with San Diego. Now, it's been talked about that maybe they would trade Phillip Rivers and some sort of, you know, obviously trade ones as well with the Titans to move up to and grab Mariota. Could happen. Maybe they grab Winston. It depends on what Tampa Bay does at 1, too. You know, 1 as when they pick there. But pretty much Phillip Rivers is, I don't know. To me, it would have to be somewhere over here in the southeast just because that's where he's from. He went to college in NC State. I think North Carolina State he went to. And he's talked about possibly not wanting to move to L.A. Get on that in a minute. I understand it. He's got a large family. He's got 7, 8 kids, maybe. And was looking at moving them maybe back to northern Alabama area, or at least to the southeast here. So southeastern teams, you know, would be in the mix as far as a trade there. But when you look at it, most of the teams over here have a quarterback, so kind of options are limited. It's kind of died down recently as far as Phillip Rivers, so, you know, we'll kind of have to see from there. The New Orleans Saints are kind of in it as well, and even though they say Drew Brees is not on the market, if they wanted to move up pretty quickly, they know that they could do that. I still feel like Drew Brees will finish out his days in New Orleans, and if he doesn't, I think that's their loss, but the NFL's a business. We all, you know, from the fan perspective, you don't always like it when your favorite player is traded off your favorite team, but everything's a business, and that's the way you got to look at it. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it blows up in their face. You still got to take a risk sometimes. But for New Orleans to move up, obviously, in the top five or so, it's not that big of a move for them. I think they're at number 11 or 12, so they could trade first-round picks and throw in Drew Brees or I forgot the running back they have, Kiri. What is that guy's name? Anyway. For what it's worth, I don't see New Orleans do anything at all. Philadelphia has always been in the talk, especially about Chip Kelly coming up to get his guy, Mariota. You know, we've heard this for, I don't know, it feels like a million years at this point. But talks kind of died off here as well. They just traded and got Sam Bradford. They got a handful of quarterback options over there. Not saying that they would Bradford would be part of a trade to move up in it, the draft. But yeah, I'm just not seeing it. I think Philadelphia's going to stay where they're at. I actually think they're going to grab that corner, the real fast guy, just had his pro day. Don't have his name in front of me. He's the one at the combine that did a broad jumped about 12 feet or so. It's one of the longest in a long time. But like I said, I don't see Philly moving up as well. And then if you're talking about a team that would trade up for a quarterback, you can't go anywhere without saying the Cleveland Browns. There's a good chance Cleveland's going to move around. They always seem to do that. They're still looking for their guy. You know, we'll just have to see if they're one of the ones that moves around. So, San Diego, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Cleveland are the four teams that I've heard that have looked at their possibilities and considerations. Other teams have too, but those are the ones that would involve big player and big movement in the first round. Now, I mentioned earlier about San Diego moving to L.A. The latest I've heard here, because as many mock drafts as there are also versions of what they would do of the teams to L.A. and that whole debacle. As of right now, the latest I've heard from credible sources, people that know a lot more about it than I do, the San Diego Chargers would move to L.A. The St. Louis Rams would also move to L.A. And the Oakland Raiders would move to St. Louis. Yeah, doesn't that sound weird? I don't know. The St. Louis Raiders just doesn't. I don't know how that sounds. They'd have to play with that. And the L.A. Chargers and the L.A. Rams, you know, they've been there before. But a lot of people say, well, it goes like this as far as St. Louis. The St. Louis taxpayers don't really want to contribute any more to basically keeping the Rams as far as the new stadium. They're already paying so much towards it, I believe. They don't want to have to pony up and pay the rest of it. So that would ultimately make the Rams move, and then Oakland could swoop in and play in the new building. This whole thing is just confusing. It's kind of getting crazy. Got a few colleagues and good friends out in the Bay Area that we're hoping to hear from here shortly, here soon. Maybe have a couple of them on one of these weeks leading up to it, and maybe they can shine a little more light on it, being from out that way. But it just looks like one big mess. I just hope they sort it out, because these fan bases don't need to be kind of strung along like this. I think it's kind of wrong. But then again, not my call. Some penalties were handed out this year, this year, of course, but this week. I'll get to the Falcons one later. Cleveland GM Ray Farmer was suspended 4 games for sending illegal texts to the sideline during games. You can't do that. I don't care what he's texting about. It could be selfies, and you're just not supposed to do that for obvious reasons. That'd be competitive advantage, because you have a guy, you know, in the box that can listen to a broadcast. As far as people possibly getting penalized, the Jets, as far as their tampering charge, filed by the Patriots, and they in turn filed one against the Patriots as well, which was, it's just dumb is what it is. Now, the Jets organization is not necessarily dumb, but what they did was dumb. They're guilty of tampering, more than likely, as far as Darrell Revis, so, you know, they'll get a penalty here or there for that. But as far as the Patriots, because they're trying to say, because owner Robert Kraft made the statement that he would love for Darrell Revis to still be a Patriot. Yeah, he shouldn't have said it the way he said it, but that's not tampering. So we'll have to wait and see what the Jets get for that. The story that kind of made me scratch my head that I heard early yesterday is that Tony Romo says he would have taken a pay cut to keep DeMarco Murray. Now, here I thought the whole reason they couldn't keep Murray was because they're paying Romo so much. So, if Romo says he would take a pay cut, it seems like the Cowboys would already know such information and would have used that. So, the funny thing about all this is, now that DeMarco Murray is a Philadelphia Eagle, I believe it was just yesterday afternoon, the Cowboys restructured Romo's contract, ultimately clearing some cap space this year, for what it looks like a draft day trade involving Adrian Peterson. I don't know what's the bigger mess. The draft rumors, the teams to LA or St. Louis, or this whole Cowboys, Adrian Peterson, Vikings thing. It's like Herschel Walker right in the middle all over this again. Just kind of goofy. Now, on another Dallas note, they did sign McClain, re-signed with Dallas, 1 year, $3 million option. He was arguably their best defender last year, so this kind of made sense. And there was a story, let me see if I can find that, because it is not in front of me. Oh, we can't find it right now. We'll find it between now and then, and the end of this. I'll get to Greg Jennings' April Fool's joke. For the main thing, Greg Jennings kind of teased that he had a job with a team, and he had a job with a team, and he had a job. He just kept saying that kind of stuff, and then. Come to find out he didn't. And the way he did it just didn't quite go well. He remains unemployed after the whole thing, after leading people on and that kind of stuff. And the Aaron Hernandez trial is up and running still, and for the most part, they've had Hernandez's girlfriend in there, and it's kind of perceived that her testimony is not really helping him. You know, it is what it is. Hopefully, they can figure out what's going on with that. They did have Patriots owner Robert Kraft in because a couple days after Aaron Hernandez emerged as a primary suspect in the Odin Lloyd death, Robert Kraft was on his way to the Patriots facility, noticed a lot of news vans and a helicopter flying over, and realized Aaron Hernandez is probably somewhere in the facility. So he went in there, he asked him if he could chat for a minute. They sat down and had a long talk, and pretty much the prosecution and defense wanted to hear what Robert Kraft heard that day. From what I heard, pretty much he says that Hernandez said he didn't do it, he was innocent, and then they went on with it. So, you know, we'll have to see about the way that plays out. And then there's this weird story where Dwight Freeney is suing Bank of America for $20 million. Now, that does sound weird, but it had to do with a scandal where some, I believe, affiliates of Bank of America, not Bank of America, but affiliates through Bank of America, stole $2 to $3 million from Dwight Freeney's account a couple years ago. And I guess this is punitive damages because it ultimately made him close a restaurant franchise he had. And these are kind of the damages from that, I guess. So, kind of weird to see a player like Dwight Freeney suing, you know, somebody like Bank of America. But these kind of things happen. And we'll just have to see. We'll have to see how this goes, too. There's a lot of these that you know, we're just scratching the surface on some of these. Last bit of Jets news, they are going to stay in New York for their training camp. They are going to stay in Florham Park, New Jersey, instead of going to sunny Cortland. I think they feel like maybe the travel is not helping them as much, and they want to keep more in-house and want to, I guess, get more accustomed to, you know, playing in the area. Either that or, I don't know, they're taking a page out of the Cleveland Browns book and just trying to find as many odd reasons to do things the way they do. Josh Freeman news, for probably the four of you who actually know who he is, and he appreciates it, because with me that makes five. Josh Freeman is signing with the Dolphins, according to Ian Rappaport. I think he'd be a serviceable backup to Tannehill in case something does happen. So I think that's a great pickup for them. They announced all the OTA dates today, or at least most of them. You can go to your team's website or NFL.com, I believe, to find out when those are, because some of them are open to the public. Go see your teams. Now, last week we heard that Jameis Winston is not going to attend the draft. One of the main reasons, and for the most part, he said he wanted to just relax and have a barbecue, I believe, with his family. Understood. And it also came out that his grandmother would not be able to travel Chicago to see him get drafted, so he would rather stay and hang out with her. I think that's a good reason. A lot of people are giving him flack for this. They say it's political. I think he's just acting the way that he does. He has deep family ties. You know, let the kid have his moment. He wants to have his moment in front of family and friends, and I think it's in his best interest to not draw that much attention to himself. So, low key in the South Florida area, I think it's going to benefit him. Also, we found out that Marcus Mariota is not going to attend the draft. I think this is helpful in a lot of different reasons. First of all, he doesn't know where he's going to get drafted. Now, Winston, we're pretty sure, unless something crazy happens, which, given his history, could. We know Winston's probably going number one. That's a fair assessment. We don't know if Mariota's going to, if somebody's going to trade up, if Tennessee's going to take it, if he could drop. You know, you kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, you don't want the Geno Smith, Brady Quinn type scenarios where, you know, Roethlisberger was in this. It's usually quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers was the same way, where you come in and everybody has you pegged as, oh, you're a top five guy, and then you fall into the 15, 20, 25 range, and everybody's like, oh, what happened? What's wrong with this kid? It may nothing have happened. It's just you go past, you know, let's say you play tight end, and one team in the top five needs a tight end, but they decide to get a defensive lineman. And then the next team that may need a tight end is not till 16. Maybe they go a different direction. You know, you never know with these kind of things. It just depends on. Sometimes people can have five quarterbacks on a roster and still draft another quarterback. You can pick whoever you want in these drafts. There's no parameters, really. You know, if you take away the common sense part of it, if obviously if you need something, it's better if you try to draft it. You know, you can pick whoever you want. It's an open draft. That and Mariota's, you know, the third real reason. He says he wants to stay in Hawaii and give Hawaii the press, the bigger press and respect because, you know, that's his home state. And he wants to do kind of the family thing as well. Have no problem with that. Plus, the last thing, Mariota doesn't want to be in the limelight all that much. And I can't blame him sometimes. But he's just not that kind of guy. And before anybody says, well, quiet quarterbacks usually don't work out very well in the NFL. You know, I have to bring up Eli Manning, pretty quiet guy. And Joe Montana is a quiet and to himself guy. They turned out pretty well. Pretty sure they got six rings between them. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what Winston, Mariota, Bryce Petty, any of these guys have to offer. It could be totally different things. And as far as the veteran combine went, I know a lot of you guys ask, has anybody been hired from this thing? Sure, there's been a handful of them. The Cardinals got MoMa and Nathan Slaughter. The Colts got Devron Carr. Thomas Mayo, he's a wide receiver. I don't know if you guys remember him. He's been working out for the Dolphins. Minnesota signed defensive end Caesar Rayford and quarterback Mike Kafka. I mean, people are getting signed from this thing. Maybe not the big names that went over there, you know. A couple quarterbacks and a defensive end and those kind of guys that maybe didn't get signed yet. You never know between now and then. But people are actually getting signed from it. And I don't know if it's, well, I guess it's kind of NFL related to a bit. It's more NCAA than NFL, but it does pertain to the NFL a little bit. The state of Georgia passed the Todd Gurley bill earlier this week where, you know, Todd Gurley, because of the merchandise guy, pretty much getting him to do some autographs for him, and he paid him for them. There is now a severe penalty for soliciting student-athletes to accept money. If you break this particular law, it has to pretty much do is get signed by the governor. You can get up to a year in jail and a $5,000 fine for soliciting a student athlete. So this may deter people from actually trying to, you know, people with stores and merchandise collectors to solicit these kids. If you want an autograph, just set it up through the school, or if there's events where they offer autographs, get your autograph there. If you're trying to do it to make money, don't do it. Do it with the pros. It's easier, and you're allowed to do whatever you want with those. even though that's a whole different topic and issue. Head coach Jeff Fisher of the St. Louis Rams, at least currently, says he's determined not to let the relocation talk become a distraction. Coach Fisher, as much as I respect your coaching and your demeanor, it's already a distraction. The fans are starting to catch wind of what's going on. The players kind of do. I mean, you're going to kind of see a weird approach in St. Louis and Oakland and San Diego soon. But, I mean, you know, I applaud his effort for saying he doesn't want it to be a distraction. That makes sense. And, you know, if Reggie and Coach were going to be on, I was going to do this thing I got from the Dan Patrick Show the other day because it got me thinking. And everybody I brought it up to, I've gotten a completely different answer out of. Not completely different, but there's been a few things. And that's to make a top five quarterbacks list right now. Like, you can sign, like, equal playing field. Everybody's got the same team behind them. You know, so scheme doesn't matter, that kind of thing. But you can get the quarterback right now at the age they're at. And I guess just to, you know, if you guys want to send in your top five, not top five of all time, not top five, you know, in their prime. No, if you want Peyton Manning, you get him at 39. If you want, you want Drew Brees, he's 36, I believe. You get him 36. If you want Marcus Mariota, obviously get him at 22. Russell Wilson, he's 24 or 25. So, you know, whatever, you know, age is where they are right now. I guess I'll give you my top five, and if you guys want to send in yours, I'd love to hear them. Or if you want to tell me what you don't like about mine, because I've already had some discussions on them as well. I would say by far, number one, give me Aaron Rodgers. Because of age, he edges out my number two, who, to me, I don't know how, if you can't get, you know, if we're having a draft, so to say, of nothing but quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers is off the board, I'm going Tom Brady next. Tom has a handful of rings on his finger, and I'm not talking about the one Giselle gave him. Even though cliff diving apparently gets him in a lot of trouble, kudos to you, Tom. I appreciated seeing that you're willing to take risks, and I don't know, I'd probably jump too. As long as I knew it wasn't, you know, 3 feet of water. But everything turned out well on that one. As far as number three, I think just based on last year, the performance he turned in, you know, give me Tony Romo. I know it's going to make a lot of Texas Revolution fans, you know, one of the teams we cover here at Impact Media, I think it's going to make them pretty happy. Most Cowboy fans, Shea and Irving is I don't know. He may not like my Romo pick. I guess we'll have to see him about that one. Number four, I got Big Ben Roethlisberger, not just because of his durability, but it has a lot to do with it. His age, he's got a lot of leadership. He's still got a good arm. Both those guys, I think, are about 34, which played into it a little bit. And then number five, yeah, I think I'm going to stick with my number five. I got Andrew Luck. I feel like the sky can be the limit for him. He's doing a lot of great things right now. And because of the unknown, so that's why I'm kind of curious as to how that's going to play out. So my top five, Rodgers, Brady, Romo, Roethlisberger, and Andrew Luck. Now, when I had this discussion with a couple people, a lot of other names were brought up that made it really difficult. I almost restructured 3, 4, and 5 because of Drew Brees, who's the most accurate quarterback in the league. I believe it's just his Saint numbers. His worst season in New Orleans, 5,000 yards, like 32 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 70% accuracy 80%. It's something like that. It's just crazy. You know, he could be considered easily, I think. He's just outside of mine. I don't know. You ask me tomorrow, he could be inside of it. Drew Brees just continues, whether you like him or not, in the Atlanta area. He's not very popular for obvious reasons, but Drew continues to put up numbers, and I like the way he does it. He's a good face for that team. Joe Flacco was brought up. I agree. Joe Flacco is right there on the border, too. I think Matt Ryan's close there. But Joe Flacco probably throws the best deep ball. He's pretty quiet. You know, talk about another quiet quarterback. And I think there was another one that was brought up. I'm trying to remember who it was. But, I mean, you can, you know, it's nothing personal to Peyton Manning. He is still considered one of the best ever. But I don't want him at 39 when his arm seems to have some issues and that kind of thing. So that's why I didn't have him in mind. You know, Matt Stafford's won a heck of a slinger. You know, I can make an argument for a handful of other guys. But, you know, I'll stick with my list. Like I said, if you guys want to, you know, at the Impact 99, at Team Impact Media, go to Facebook or Impact Media. Email the show, 3endzone@gmail.com. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Let me know who your top five is right now. Like I said, this is age. Get them at their age, not their prime. But as far as our NFL stuff, that's going to do it for this part of the show. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking Falcons, and there's a handful of good things to talk about. Get into some draft rumors, some people who could actually be picked by them. There is a pretty long list. There's actually one that's not on this list that I will have to add to it. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. See you in a few minutes for Falcon Zone. York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. And welcome back to Falcon Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Glad to have you back. Now we're going to, I'm going to tell you the penalties for the noise investigation. The illegal crowd noise. There's some Hard Knocks notes coming up. And the Falcons are going to be without services of Roddy White. This season and from here on out. And I'll explain that a little more here in a few minutes. But like I said, welcome to Falcon Zone, presented by Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio. We'll get right into draft rumors. for the most part, the biggest draft rumor is that the Atlanta Falcons are going to more than likely take a pass rusher at number 8, not really a trade. We don't know. I mentioned those teams before that could actually come up and maybe try to trade and take that 8 spot. But given where the Falcons typically are on drafts, they don't move very often. The Julio Jones trade was one in particular that they actually did. They took a shot. It's worked out pretty well. You can still argue either way as to if they gave up too much, too little, or if it was successful, but, you know, Julio's a baller. We know that. As far as the people that Atlanta could take at number 8, I'm going to go over this list. Maybe I'll mention the guy you think. I've looked over all the mock drafts. I've done my own mock draft. We've all done work here, and when I got Coach and Reggie's answers among all the other people here at Impact Media, they mentioned somebody on this list, so everybody seemed to. First off, there's outside linebacker from Clemson, Vic Beasley. I think we've all heard a lot about him. He actually did pretty well against UGA earlier in the year, so a lot of Atlanta people are familiar with him. He's solid from the outside, and, you know, I still think defensive line is more of the pass rusher they need to get, but I like Vic Beasley. He's very aggressive. He's very athletic. Then you got defensive end from Oregon, Eric Armstead. He's a big guy. He's got quickness, good hands. I like the guy. He kind of strikes me as an Atlanta guy. Could be wrong. Maybe he's a South Beach guy. I don't know. But, you know, just the things I've seen and read and heard, I think he'd be a pretty good fit, especially in the Quinn scheme. Another guy that'd be a good fit is defensive end from Missouri, Shane Ray. He's a lot like Eric Armstead. In fact, most of the people on this list are very similar in the way they play. For the most part, they're good pass rushers in college. Now, college and the pros are obviously two different things, so, you know, we'll have to see as far as how that goes. Randy Gregory is on the list, outside linebacker from Nebraska. I'm not sure. He may have been the one with the positive marijuana test at the combine, but I'll be honest. A lot of the players in the league are using marijuana. Some get caught, some don't. And, you know, you got to think for the most part, as long as it's not a quarterback, I can kind of let a little bit of it go. I'm not saying I condone it. In no way am I saying do I condone marijuana use. I'm just saying, if you're a team executive, you know, if my quarterback's got a marijuana issue, I'm going to really have an issue. If a wide receiver or a defensive end, you know, it's just different the way the NFL's set up. And, you know, it'll be taken accordingly. Randy Gregory may fall to 8. He may not. I don't know. Kid can play. That's, you know, usually talent trumps, as we found out with some of the things this year. Next on the list is Lael Collins, the offensive tackle from LSU. I like this kid. I like Collins. I think he's a solid tackle. You put Jake Matthews on one side, you put Lael Collins on the other, and then you got Stone in the middle as the center. They ain't coming in the middle, the pass rush, and the pass rush ain't coming to the outside. They're going to have to take on the guards, and pretty good guards here in Atlanta. The only problem with this is if they don't take a pass rusher at number 8, I feel like the fans are really going to let them have it. So it needs to be a slam dunk pick if you're not going defensive line or outside linebacker at 8. That being said, I have another non-pass rusher coming up that I think Collins would be a solid pick. It depends. If 3 or 4 or 5 pass rushers are off the board by number 8, go with Collins or the other guy I'm going to mention, because don't try to reach. Usually if you take somebody in the top 5, they need to be starters by like week 3 or 4. you take somebody in the top 10, you can play with depth a little bit. 6 through 10, you can play with depth a little bit. They can back up people. You can use them on limited downs and kind of get them warmed up to the effect. A little more leeway and a little less of a risk, monetarily speaking. Of course, there's Bud Dupree. He's from, I think he's on Kentucky, and outside linebacker. Like the other outside linebackers I mentioned, Vic Beasley and Randy Gregory. He's solid coming off the edge. For the most part, it's a three-down guy, which means he can play every play if need be. And then Dante Fowler Jr., the defensive end from Florida. I really like this kid. And, you know, Atlanta fans don't really get your hopes up too much. I believe Jacksonville's going to take him at 3. At least that's my call on that one. Unless somebody takes, you know, trades up and gets the number 3 spot, Dante Fowler Jr. is not going to be around by then. And a handful of those other players aren't as well. Now, the last guy, the guy that I've only seen mentioned recently, and, you know, based off how his college career ended, I'm not sure if he's an eighth pick overall, maybe right outside of the top 10. But it's not much of a reach. The only thing is it's a position that's kind of interesting for the Falcons, and that would be the running back position that they would take UGA running back Todd Gurley. Coming off the ACL tear and surgery and rehab, hasn't done a lot of off-season stuff, and, you know, supposedly Devontae Freeman's supposed to be the lead guy, Anton Smith's supposed to be the second in command, so where does Gurley fit into this? You wouldn't do a three-headed attack because Atlanta tried that last year and it was just horrible. Maybe it was personnel related, but it never worked. You never had the right guy at the right time. I don't know why you don't go with a majority one-back system with a change of pace back at 2 and, you know, a third that can back them up. But those are the people that I've heard that Atlanta are really taking a look at. You never know. We really don't know. HBO's Hard Knocks earned a Emmy nomination, and that was the Falcons one from last season. Don't know who's doing it this summer. I've heard that Rex Ryan and the Bills could be a strong possibility, so we'll have to see about that. Clearly, HBO and the Hard Knocks people did a great job because they got the fans' hopes up that this team was super aggressive, and then the season started, and we realized that we watched a magic show for 6 weeks. So, a lot of smoke and mirrors. And, I mean, there's a lot of toughness. I'm not saying this team isn't tough. It's just, I don't know, the aggressive nature wasn't really there, in my opinion. It happens. Those aren't direct shots. Those are just the obvious. That's why there was a coaching change. Trying to take it in a different direction. Trying to do something different. Shake it up a little bit. But, just wanted to send out a congrats to HBO and the Hard Knocks team for the Emmy nomination. I did want to mention that the Bears signed former Falcons Dequiz Rogers to a one-year deal. Hope Quiz does good up there. He'll be getting an opportunity backing up Matt Forte. Quiz still's got stuff in the tank. He's still a pretty good runner. It just kind of ran its course here, and I think a change of scenery could help him out a lot. Great guy. Talked to him at a Summer Falcons event last year. Super guy. I told you that the Falcons will be doing without the services of Roddy White for this year and the foreseeable future. Those of you who already know are kind of in on the play on a name there. I'm talking about the former now director of marketing, Roddy White, who is no longer with the team. Pretty much with this noise violation thing, somebody had to fall on the sword, and it was Roddy White, who did a good job while he was here with the Falcons. If he was the one behind it, or if he was just the one that was targeted because of being behind it, whatever, he's no longer with the team. We'll have a new director of marketing. May have already had it, but I haven't seen the announcement. As soon as it does, I'll let you guys know for sure. Also, the Falcons waived former 7th-round pick from the 2013 draft, Notre Dame safety Zeke Mata. Mata was okay. I think he was having a hard time with the scheme. Safety is a hard issue. I mean, it was a hard issue for the Falcons, but it's one of the more difficult positions to play, especially in schemes that the Falcons have ran in previous years, especially in the Quinn offense. So, you know, wish the best to Zeke. I'm sure he'll catch on somewhere. But you'll see a handful of this, because right now you can be up to 90 people on your roster. So you can sign 4 and 5 of different things and different people and, you know, just go with it from there. But wish the best to number 35 there. As far as the OTA workouts, the OTA workout sessions will be from May 26th to the 29th, from June 2nd to 3rd. They'll be on June 5th and June 9th to 12th. There'll be some voluntary mini camps the end of this month, April 27th through the 30th, and mandatory mini camp is June 16th to the 18th. Not sure which ones are going to be open to the public yet, but the Falcons are going to let us all know when that happens. And then there's the mandatory mini camp. You know, obviously following that in July will be training camp. Don't know the exact days on those yet, but you know how the Falcons are. They are nailing it down to make sure it is the most convenient for all parties involved and that they can benefit the best from it. So as soon as they announce it, we will let you guys know. As far as the noise investigation punishment for pumping in illegal crowd noise for the last 2 years, which didn't work, but still did it. It's just like the Ray Farmer texting from the Browns. But here's what the Falcons are penalized for that. Like I said, Director of Marketing Roddy White was let go. As a result of this, NFL didn't hand that down. The Falcons did. I think his team president, Rich McKay, was suspended from the competition committee to at least June 30th, where he can appeal to be back in. I believe he was the head of the competition committee, but there's only like one competition committee meeting day between now and the start of the season. So he's basically getting suspended for 1 day. Don't quite understand that one. I mean, if you're going to suspend somebody, whether it be a GM or, you know, any front office person, if you're going to suspend them and try to actually make it hurt the team, then you suspend them for the next 30 days and make sure that they miss the draft. I mean, clearly the NFL wasn't going to do that because Rich McKay is so highly regarded, and I guess they just didn't see it as that severe. It is what it is. Glad Rich McKay is still with our team. I like the guy. I liked him in Tampa. He does a lot of great things. I'm glad they didn't really hand down a huge punishment because the other part of it, it'll be a 2016 fifth-round pick that will get taken away. Once again, I'd heard it was going to be a second or third this year. All of a sudden, it drops back to a fifth. Next year, I think it had a lot to do with them admitting it up front and just going along with the protocol. And then, of course, they were docked $350,000. I'm sure that one really stung. But at least we got off light. We don't have to worry about a whole lot of big stuff. And like I said, we kind of skirted that one. You know, that's going to do it for me this week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And the next couple weeks, we'll have some more people in. Like I said, hopefully some people from the Bay Area to explain some of the move to L.A. and the big things going on with the 49ers in Oakland, because they're in the news for reasons. And I believe we'll see the 49ers here in the Dome later this year. So want to hear about all their stuff they're doing. And like I said, that's going to do it for us. So on behalf of Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio, this has been the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Good night, Alice. We'll see you next week.